you guys with us, and we've got a special treat with you for you tonight. There's a wonderful pastoral couple who is with us this evening, and they are just tremendous friends of ours and a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. They pastor a church in Lafayette, Louisiana. And so any of you Louisiana people, you are in for a treat tonight. With that, we couldn't be more joyed to have them here. Every time I've heard them, and I often watch them in between our services on Sunday, I'll pull up their services and check out what's going over there in Lafayette. And every time I pull it up, they're just such a blessing to me, and I know they're going to be a blessing to you. So tonight, would you give a warm Mississippi welcome to Reverend Caleb Moran.
Give your pastor a hand tonight. Amen. What an awesome, awesome church. You may be seated. You know, as a pastor, I can always tell how my sermon's going to go by the way people worship. And man, I was blessed by your worship tonight. What a phenomenal band. Why don't you give your band a hand, your singers. Amen. As your pastor said, I pastor in Lafayette, Louisiana with my wife. We brought our youth pastors here with us tonight. But I had my secretary send a picture. I don't know if you guys got it. If you do, if you don't mind, that's my beautiful family. And if you look to the left, that's my 7-year-old Gavin and then Jaden. Then in my arms, we had twins. There's Dylan and Hadley. And then Landon, our 4-year-old son with the curliest hair you've ever seen. And then none of that would be possible without my beautiful wife who's here tonight. Babe, why don't you stand up and greet the audience? So we are dedicated to growing our church by having children. So I encourage all the women here, help your pastor out. Go get pregnant. If you're married, get pregnant. If you're not, get a husband. Get pregnant. Grow this church. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about your dreams. I want to ask you one question. Are you dreaming tonight? The title of my message is Wake Up and Dream. You know, a lot of times we have aspirations. We have things that we want to do, dreams that God's given us. How many of God's given you a dream? God's shown you something in your life. Tonight, I want to ask you this. Have you given up on that dream? You know, you don't have to be, you know, backslidden and horrible person to just give up on something. You can be doing good and grow weary. The Bible says that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. But in our lives and in the things that we aspire to do, we've got to have something not only to dream about, but put our faith in it to keep going and take control of those things. So tonight, I believe you're going to get some messages, or a message, some scriptures at least, I think you can sink your teeth into. How many are ready for the Word of God tonight? Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. You know, a lot of times we have these dreams, and sometimes we see those dreams come to pass, and that's the best part. You get to see that reality, that manifestation. I know at one point this building was a blueprint, and now this building is manifested. You know, you may be one of those people who were able to see your dreams come to pass, but maybe you're like that person who grew weary and kind of gave up on your dream. Maybe you're like that guy who said, you know what, I'm going to stop following my dreams. I'll just ask them where they're going and I'll hook up with them later. How many know procrastination will never get you where you need to be when it comes to your relationship with God? And so a lot of times we think, well, it seems that it's too far off, and so it must happen one day. You know, God gives you dreams for a reason, not to tease you, but to give you something to set the bar in your life to begin to raise your faith to. And that dream for some people may be to, you know, own your own business. It may be to have a child. It may be to get married. It may be to launch out in ministry one day and do what God's called you to do. But whatever that dream is, if God gave it to you, it should be a reality. Amen. I often tell my church, anything found in the Word of God should be found in your life. If you can take it and you can read it, then you should be able to see it manifest in a full form in your life. And so some of you in here may be the person who has said, you know what, I've just given up on dreams altogether. Some of you may be the person who says, you know what? I just don't know if I even have the ability to dream. Or some of you may be the people who says, you know what, Pastor Caleb? I'm actually living my dreams. No matter which one you are, I'm going to ask you tonight to dream again. What I love about the Bible is the Bible has no expiration date. And what I love about God is as long as you're breathing, He's not done with you. And so you may have seen your wildest dream come to pass, but tonight I'm going to ask you to dream again. I'm going to do my best to get you in a place where you say, tonight I came to get the word, but I left a dreamer. If I can do anything tonight, please let me just kickstart your dreams. Because believe it or not, what God wants to do in your life is not going to come just by what you already have. God deals primarily with the area of faith. That means you're going to begin to see things come to pass that you don't yet have in your life. You're going to begin to obtain what seems to be not out there yet. But by faith it's there. Amen. So how many are ready for that tonight? All right, well, let's get into the word. Have you ever been told, don't get your hopes up? You know, the people who tell you that, those are very disappointed people who are trying to, in all honesty, they really mean well. They're trying to prepare you not to get hurt. But I don't want to listen to somebody's advice and whom I wouldn't want to trade places with. You've got to be careful who you're seeking counsel from. Because some people will try to prepare you for the worst. So you'll go to them with a dream. Come on, you see the people in the Bible that went with their dreams and people said, no, that's not going to happen. I remember when my wife and I, we heard the call to step out in ministry and go and start our church. I went to somebody who, to be honest with you, I was really looking for validation. And that's one place where I was off. My eyes were on man instead of on God. And so I said, we're going to go start a church. We know we're called to pastor. And they looked at me and they said, you? And I thought, man, I was really hoping for a rhema word from God, a prophecy, a confirmation. And they said, why don't you put a pin in it? And why don't you go to seminary for 7 years and then consider it? That's not what God told me. They were messing up my dream. And had I allowed that through insecurity to stifle me or stifle that dream, then what I would have done was sit back and procrastinate. And through desperation, I would have made it something far off. I'll catch up to that one day in life. But how many of you know whatever you put off, you just keep putting off? Faith never puts things off. Faith deals with a different tense than hope. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The advice that people give you about not getting your hopes up, I'm going to give you some different advice tonight. I'm going to ask you to get your hopes up as high as you possibly can. I'm going to ask you to just go back through your spirit, go back through your mind, what God has shown you, and just get those things out tonight. And we're going to give God something to work with. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the King James translation says this, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One of the things I like about this scripture is it reveals to us the when of faith. It reveals to us the what of faith. And it reveals to us the why of faith. The when of faith is now. Now faith is. See, hope is different than faith because hope is something that when the world says, man, I sure hope I get that job, what they mean is I wish I would get that job. But wishing doesn't get us anything with God. There's no magic, pool in heaven where we can throw pennies in and we get our wishes. There's nothing of magic with God. He's a faith God. And so the win of faith is now. If you're going to live by faith, it's not one day. And that's the problem that we have with most Christians, or I would say at least that I have come across with most people in my church, is they're saying, Pastor, I'm believing God that one day that's going to happen. Okay, but don't call that faith. That's hope. Because hope, Bible hope, is a confident expectation. But see, what some people say is, well, I sure wish or hope that would happen for me. That's not confidence. I don't see any confidence in that. 1 John tells us in chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, that if we ask anything, we come to him confident. We ask anything in his name according to his will. What did he say? He said, we're going to get it. Why? Because we know he hears us. Are you confident in the dreams and the plans and the visions that God has given you? And so the when of faith is now. It says now faith is. The what of faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for. Faith brings substance to the very things you're hoping for. And then we see the what of faith, or the why of faith, which is the evidence of things not seen. Why have faith? Because God desires for you to see things that you don't yet see. If all you're going on in life is what you have, that's not faith. God designed you, humanity. The very first words that man heard was be fruitful and multiply. God didn't even want you staying the same. Even though he's God, and Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says he never changes, and we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he fully expects us to grow, to develop, to mature, to go from faith to faith. Romans tells us that the just shall live by faith. It's a lifestyle. It's not a hobby. We're not amateurs. We're professionals at this. And the Bible says so. Hold fast to your profession of faith. Is this something that we're going to try, or is this something that we're going to live? I don't know about you, but I'm going to live it. And by the looks of you guys, you are living it. Look at this church. Look at the quality of what's happening in this city. You guys are living by faith. And because of that, there's substance in your life. How many of you right now, you can raise your hand and say, if I look back over my life in the past 5 years, there is some substance and there is some evidence of my faith. Anybody, can I see some hands? Come on, sin, you're living by faith. But guess what? God's not done with you. There's another 5 years ahead of you. I don't care how young, how old, God's not done with you. Amen. Well, it's true whether you believe it is or not. Amen. And so hope is a catalyst for our dreams. Matter of fact, when we get our hopes up as high as we can, it gives our faith something to aim at. I was watching a movie one time, of military-based movie, and this guy was a sniper, and he was up on a mountain, and he had a buddy next to him, and there was a convoy coming down that was the enemy, and this guy is posted up, and he's ready, and they're camouflaged, and one guy had the gun, and one guy had binoculars. One guy's job was to identify or locate the enemy. And then the other guy's job was to take what the guy who located the enemy said and aim at it. So he's saying things like the wind is coming at this speed, or they're coming down at you know, 2 o'clock or whatever he's saying. I never went to the military, so I'm sure there was a niner in there maybe every now and then. But the guy who shot only shot at a target because it was located by somebody else. Hope is a fantastic locator. It locates that thing you're believing God for. But faith is such a good executor at going out and getting you the very thing in which you have located. See, your spirit finds a scripture, and hope locates that and says, there it is. That's what I want in my life. And I confidently expect that to come to pass. But faith says, when would you like it? You want it one day, or you want it right now? Because the what of faith, we know, is the substance of things hoped for. But the why is God getting you to see the unseen, because you can't see it naturally. Amen. Pastor Kenneth Hagin said that faith is the hand that reaches from the unseen into from the seen into the unseen and brings that thing back into reality. And so tonight, you may not see your dream in front of you, but you got to see it through the eyes of faith. Amen. And so when your hopes and your faith collide, the aftermath of that collision is the manifestation of what you've been confidently expecting. If you come upon a scene of a car collision, there's substance of that crash. There should be some evidence when your faith and your hope meet each other. I like to say it this way. Just send your hope out there and tell your faith, sick 'em. Go get my hope. Why? Because my manifestation is right there. When you can have your hope and your faith collide together. See, some people have hopes, but they never mix their faith with it. Hope and faith were meant to be together. My wife and I, and you saw earlier, we had twins. I guess really she had the twins. I just pay for them. But you know, twins, you just don't want to separate them. I got one grandma saying, bring the twins over. And the other grandma saying, bring the twins over. And so you think, well, let's please them both. And we'll give this one the girl and this one the boy. But you don't want to separate them. Why? Because they belong together. They were created together. God meant for those two things to stay together. God never meant for your hope to be without faith. And he never meant for your faith to be without hope. God gave you both. And he knows what he's doing in the course of your life. You know, when you talk about dreams, one of the things that I think of often is Disney World. And that's where people go to dream, right? I've been to Disney World and Disneyland, and you see little kids that are in a dream world. And then every now and then you see people that are a little too old that are still in that same dream world, you know. But Walt Disney said this. He said, all of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Let me just say this to you tonight. Nothing of God can be pursued without faith. And if Walt Disney had some idea of pursuit, how many of you know God has a better idea? Amen. And God designed you in such a way that you're not to give up. Amen. You're not to quit. You're not to say, well, I guess I've lived the best life I'm going to live. No, listen, as long as you're here, he's not done with you. Amen. Maybe a dream to you would be a restoration in a relationship. God's not done with that relationship. Maybe a dream to you would be a child coming back home or getting off drugs or identifying that God is real in their life. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. What seems to be a blueprint, don't shove it off in the closet. Mix faith with it and begin to watch that blueprint come to pass. I love coming to this church because you guys are in what we're beginning to be in. We're in the beginning stages of building a facility. And to see this facility and go, you know what? This was not just something that happened. This was a dream. It wasn't just the dream of the visionary. You caught the vision and it became your dream. And look what happens when dreams, that hope mixes with faith. People's lives get changed. One of them is your own. And so Hebrews chapter 11 begins to tell us about faith. You know, I like to think of dreams and visions as children from God. God gives you that dream, that vision, and it's your responsibility to help it grow. My wife and I, we have 5 children, and I remember our first child. It was so awesome. We're sitting in the hospital, and someone's coming in and feeding it every 2 hours, and changing the diapers. It was amazing. And if the baby was crying and we were trying to get sleep, you could just call them and say, hey, come get the baby. And they'd come in and take the baby and bring you ice chips. And, you know, I didn't really care for the ice chips, but my wife did. But it was awesome. And then there came a day where they said, all right, well, that's it. Sign this paper. You're on your own. And I thought, now, wait a second. Who's going to come get the baby tonight when it's crying? Oh, that's me. And I remember holding my son Jaden when I got home and overwhelmed with love and joy. But that fear had an opportunity to creep in. What if I mess this up? What if I mishandle this? I mean, what if I hurt it? What if I drop him? And I did many times, but he's okay now. I had to learn that doorways weren't as wide as I thought they were. When clunk, you know, it's like, mom's not here. Like, you put them on your shoulders and you should duck, but you don't, and they hit their head. And you learn a lot with the first one. Number 3, 4, and 5, they're good. We're good moms and dads now. We got lots of practice. But you know, God gives you a dream. He gives you a vision. And he gives it to you because he knows you can handle it. But he knows with him, it'll come to pass. And those visions and those dreams never start out on the outside. They always start out on the inside. That's why I like to think of them as children, something that God gives us that much like a child starts off as a seed or an embryo, it must grow and develop before it can serve its purpose. And so there's always a waiting period or a pregnancy stage, if you will, with every single dream and vision that comes from God. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, a scripture that we all probably can quote, it talks about this very thing that I'm mentioning to you. It says this in the King James Version, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters," he says, "shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." I remember as a child reading that and thinking, I can't wait till I become an old man so I can dream. But that's not what he means. It's not an age limit on your dreams, but I believe what he is telling you is that even in the age where you feel like life has been lived, he says, dream again. And to those who don't realize what's ahead of them, he says, let me give you a vision for what's to come. Some parameters, some guidelines, something to strive for. I don't care if you're young or old. I'm going to ask you tonight if you can get your mind back acclimated to that dream. And not just that dream, but can you be open-minded and open-spirited to receiving some more tonight? God has some dreams for us. And so a dream is never given in manifested form. A dream is always given with hope attached to it, but it's going to require faith to bring it to pass. Hope will locate that thing, but faith will actually execute. And I know that faith is very good at getting the things that God has asked us to believe him for. Because Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those that come to him, it says, must believe that he is. That he is what? That he's God. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, some people go to God wondering if the reward is even there. If you come to God in faith, you're going to leave rewarded. And it may not be tangible at the moment, but one translation says that faith, that our hope and our faith, you know, Hebrews 11, 1, that faith is the handle on the things unseen. A handle is something great. You ever tried to move a box that had no handles? It's hard. God didn't want faith to be hard for you. He didn't want those dreams to be hard for you. It may take time. It may take some effort. But he said, with faith, you can get a handle on it. That even when things try to slip out, you say, no, I got a good grip on this. Even when the storms come. Even when it seems that doubt is easier to believe, even when it seems that everyone else says it's not going to happen, and even on paper it doesn't look like it's going to work, God says, but do you still have a handle on it? If you've got a handle, you've got something to bring back with you, something to lift, something to carry away. Amen. And so God places a dream on the inside of us, again, much like a baby. And I believe that God fully expects for that dream in you to come out. I know as a man, it's hard to think about giving birth, but tonight I'm going to ask you to consider it. There's some labor pains. I remember in every pregnancy that my wife had, there was fun times and lots of not so fun times. It was always in the closet. Man, you know what that means? That means there's nothing to wear. You know what that means? You're going to go buy more clothes, right? Or there's the elbow in the middle of the night for the weird thing you have to go buy so she can eat, right? And I remember those stages, but I remember at the end, right before the baby was about to come, it got real uncomfortable. But there was still an expectancy that even in the uncomfortable times, you still find joy and anticipation. Why? Because you're confidently hoping. It's a confident expectation that This thing is in there. You got evidence. There's some substance. There's something showing, right? Do you see any evidence of pregnancy in your life tonight? Do you see any sign that God is doing something in you? You know, you may ask, how big can I dream? Well, I'll ask you this, how big is your God? If you serve a small God, then by all means, dream very small. Just get a little tiny dream and see if you can get that to come to pass. But if you serve a big God, I want to encourage you to get as big as you possibly can with your dreams. Your dreams cannot come to pass by you alone. A vision can't come to pass by one person. I often tell our church leaders and people within our leadership that a vision is very heavy for one person to carry. But when people join that vision, it doesn't necessarily become lighter, it becomes possible. Because the vision is what it is, but when there's more hands in it, it becomes more effective, more efficient. And that thing that God's putting in your heart can actually come to pass. And so Isaiah in chapter 54 begins to give us a new look at this idea of visions and dreams being children. And again, men, I'm going to ask you just to bear with me for a moment. God does have something he wants to place on the inside of you to give birth to. In Isaiah 54, for those of you who may have had a hard time dreaming again, I want you to listen to this. The Message translation reads, "Sing, barren woman," or we'll say person, "who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all those childbearing people. God says so." When people question your dream, you say, God says so. When people question your ability to perform that dream, to see the manifestation, to deliver that dream, you say, God says so. When they say, but you? I mean, if you knew my background, if you knew where I came from, I still have friends finding me on Facebook and social media going, Pastor, what? You're a what? I'm sorry, I'm a new creation is who I am. Because if you knew where I came from, it seemed hopeless. But where I'm at now is hopeful. You've got to understand that what God has for you is far greater than what you think you want in your life. What God's done in my life has far surpassed even my own dreams and aspirations for my life. And if you think about the Bible, it does say God's not like us. He doesn't think the way we think, nor are his ways our ways. And so any thoughts you have, sure, he can do it and then some. You ever had somebody hook you up and you just go, wow, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Man, I didn't know you were going to give me all this. I mean, I was thinking this would be cool, but man, you just did so much more. God can be that and more. And where he gives you that dream, it's just a glimpse. It's just a glance at something that's ahead of you. But when you use your faith, you begin to walk in it. Think of it this way. If I was to use a sentence with prepositions that said, you know, you walk by a house. Well, you have a mental picture of you walking by a house. But if I said you walk under a house, it changes the whole picture. You walk into a house, it changes the picture. All you're doing is changing one word. Changing the picture. Sometimes we got to tweak the way that we talk about the things God's given us. Saying things like, well, one day I'll live that dream. No, I'm living that dream. I've got a handle on it. Well, one day my kids will serve God. No, in Jesus' name, my kids will fulfill the call of God upon their life. They love God. You can clap for that. That's okay. They love God. Come on, you got a husband at home drunk on the couch? I see my husband right next to me worshiping, tithing, giving, joining the usher team. You got a wife who wants nothing to do with you? I see my wife who loves me, cares for me. Just the other day, I had an opportunity. We had a service where we were talking about the move of God and the move of the Spirit. And God showed up big, and I was able to lay hands on some people in our church. And there's this one guy, I know his situation. And that sometimes as a pastor, that I'm kind of reserved from that, because I want to make sure that when you hear from God through me, you know it's not me talking about your situation. And I just felt so led. This guy's been wanting a girlfriend and a wife. You know, start off as a girlfriend, then become a wife. That's the dream, right? Got to start off as an embryo and grow into something. But I just felt led by God. I said, she's on her way. Now, you don't want to say that if it's not true. I said, man, she's on her way. She's on her way. You just stay put. She's on her way. And he's getting happy, but you can tell he's kind of like, are you sure, Pastor? I've been waiting a long time. Is she here now? Could you point her out? So, man, she's on her way. She's on her way. I promise you, she's on her way. And then not too long after, we went to a conference, and Lord spoke to him. He said, you're going to find your girlfriend in 1 month. And just the other day, we were preaching last week at another church, and I received a text message from him. He said, Pastor, I'd like for you to meet my girlfriend. She came to church today. And I thought, come on, a dream into a reality. Because see, you may think, oh, puppy love. No, listen. When I met my wife in the girlfriend stage, she gave me now 5 amazing children who are going to shake the kingdom of hell. Amen. And they're going to help the kingdom of heaven. Yes. And so that small dream of I just want a girlfriend, God had a much bigger picture. Yeah. I didn't know I'd be pastoring a church. I didn't know we'd be in the ministry. I just wanted a girl, man. I was on the hunt. I need a girlfriend. And she's good looking. And that would be a dream, because I've never dated a pastor's daughter. Pastor's daughters don't date me. But God had a bigger picture. Amen. So Isaiah, he says, God says so. Listen to what he says. Clear lots of ground. He says, clear lots of ground. Not for just one single tent. He said, for your tents. Then he says this, make your tents large. You got some big babies. Spread out. Think big, or you can say dream big. He says, use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. God has dreams after your dream. You say, well, man, if I could just get that. Some of you, your dream is a new home. I remember one day walking through a neighborhood with my wife, and we had just bought a house in this neighborhood, and the neighborhood right next to it was a lot nicer. And we just go before kids, you know, you have time to walk, you know. We don't have time to walk anymore unless we're chasing after a kid. But we were walking through the neighborhood, and I remember holding her hand, and I said, babe, maybe one day, like 20 years, we could live in a neighborhood like this. I mean, my thought was, it's going to take that long. You know, it's one of those dreams, let me know where you're going, I'll catch up with you later. But it was 3 years later that it came to pass. And it was because we began to live by faith, not just by our hopes. Your hopes are great, you need hope, but you need your faith active. So we have to understand, again, our dreams are like children, and God desires for you to give birth to the very dream that he's given you. To manifest that in real life. Not too long ago, the Lord said something to me. And again, the Lord talks to me in ways that I can understand. And I'm so thankful that he does. But he said something to me that really made a lot of sense to me. As a pastor, I was praying, God, I want a move of God in my church. I want a move of God in my city. I want people to come and be exposed to the presence of God and receive from you. And the way he said this to me, he said this. He said, the body of Christ is in heat right now. He said, there's never been a better time to receive from my spirit. You know, when an animal is in heat, if you don't want it to get pregnant, you keep it away from other animals. But Joel said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And if you are around that spirit, you're going to conceive. Something's going to be put on the inside of you. It's a vision. It's a dream, but it's a baby. And how many know babies grow up and they develop? And if you've done it right, they make you proud. God did not intend for your dream to be small. It may look small, but if you'll feed it with faith and get your hope back out there, God will increase that very dream. Tonight, I want to give you three things that I believe will help you, something that you can take away in this message. How do you get God's dreams, or how do you begin to get a dream from God for your life? First, I would say, you dare to ask for it. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, the Living Bible reads this way. Now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us, something in you, is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Dare to ask God. If you're taking notes, that's the first thing I would say you could do. Second thing would be believe God's promises. Well, in Jeremiah 32:27, ERV translation says, I am the God of every person on the earth. You're no special case. Your dream's not too big. He's the God of your dream. If Satan is the father of lies, I would say God is the father of dreams. He says this, I am the God of every person on the earth. You know that nothing is impossible for me. If God is involved in your dream, it's not impossible. It may seem impossible for you, but that's why it's from God. Because it will require your faith in him. And of course, thirdly, dream big. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, the NIV translation reads, ask me and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. One translation says, you want the nations to dance? Tell them to dance. I love that. What does that mean? It's waiting on you. How big do you want this? How bad do you want this? You may have stopped dreaming, but I'm asking you to dream again. He said, sing, woman, person, barren person. Why would you sing if you are barren? Bible says to sing. Reminded of that song, it says, sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. That's Matthew 6. They're going, how are we going to eat? How are we going to pay rent? He said, look, man, quit freaking out about all those things. Look at the birds. Takes care of them. But God, this dream is so big. How will I ever do it? I'm in school, or I'm a single mother, or I'm too old now, or people won't use me. I'm too young. He said, no, get happy. Get hopeful. Get free. Get free from fear. And remember that if God can take care of creation, of which you are his creation, but you're the only creation made in his reflection, in his image, God will help you as well. And so the size of your God should determine the size of your goal. If your God is a big God, you should have a big goal or a big dream. And you really haven't believed God until you've attempted something that cannot be done in the power of the flesh. If you can do it by yourself, then you don't need God. And I never want to get into a place where it's always me doing what I'm good at with just my ability because I can do that. Plenty of people can do good things because they're talented. But when God says, do this, you know, every time we do a capital campaign, it's very easy for somebody to say, well, I could give $100, but what about $1,000? Talked to a guy just the other day who said his church just received a $55 million one-time offering. And I thought, my God. Whoo! Could you break me off 1%? Yeah. I'll go do mission work somewhere if you just send me 1%. Yeah. But man, that's a big God. Do you know God can do more? Amen. And so if you want to know how big your dream should be, there's two things that you can walk away tonight knowing. Number one is, how much time do you have to give to it? If your dream, if you can give the rest of your life to it, that's a big dream. Don't limit your God. He's a limitless God, but the limits that he does have are the ones we put on him. And number two, what are you shaped for to do? Shaped is an acronym. I got this very acronym from another minister. The S is your spiritual gifts. What are your spiritual gifts? H would be your heart. What is your heart? A would be your attitudes. P would be your personality. E would be your experiences. What are you shaped to do? What do you like to do? What do you love doing? What are you gifted to do? Dream great dreams for God. It is the first step in your walk of faith. Tonight, as we begin to close, I want to read a quote to you that I believe will make sense of this whole idea of waking up and dreaming. Normally, you think you go to sleep to dream. But you know, God, dreams may begin with him, but they finish through our faith and cooperation with him. T.E. Lawrence said this, and please hear me on this tonight. All men dream, but not equally. He said, those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men. For they may act on their dreams with eyes wide open to make them possible. Tonight, I want to ask you and challenge you to wake up and dream. You may have seen some good things, but God's not done. Don't let the slumber of disappointment keep you impoverished despair. Sometimes we allow our lives that we've gone through setbacks or heartaches to accept kind of where we are. This is who I am. This is the life that I'll always have. But tonight, I want to ask you to let God help you dream again. And you may be good at those dreams. Get creative. Dream bigger. Wake up from hopelessness and into hopefulness through your faith in him. Did you receive that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, your word is absolute. It's true. But we know that if your word says you'll give us the desires of our heart, God, tonight we open our hearts. Fill our hearts so we can dream again. Pour out your spirit tonight on those that may have felt it was hopeless. People that it may seem barren to believe God again. They've been rejected so many times. Father God, I remember in the natural, it seemed it was impossible for us to have children. But you gave us five. I thank you, Lord, for filling our hearts with a desire and for fulfilling your word to us. Tonight, I speak over this church, dream again. I speak over this facility, dream again. I speak over every acre on this land, dream again. Father God, these dreams would come to pass, become reality. And tonight, as people leave, they leave dreamers, ready to wake up and dream a bright new day, a greater future. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you tonight.